Welcome into the CC podcast, everybody. It is the afternoon, actually, of Friday, November 24th, Thanksgiving, the day after, and also game day eve as we get ready for Louisville versus Kentucky in the battle for the Governor's Cup. Noon kickoff at L&N Stadium on ABC tomorrow. That's why we're here. We're doing the damn thing for you. We promised a Friday podcast. We're here to deliver. Before we get into the ins and the outs of this Battle of the Bluegrass, first of all, I got to say hey to Danny Sinard up in Columbus, Ohio. Dan, how was Thanksgiving?
We've had better Thanksgiving. I know last pod we left off, I had kind of been boasting about how everything had gone well with the turkey. Not so much this year. So, we'll give it another crack. I'll just get into it real quick while I'm here. Basically, we deep fried a turkey. Is like the fourth year in a row we've done it. I've never had problems in the first three, and for whatever reason, I don't know if the hose that hooks up our propane tank and the burner like was malfunctioning or what, but it took like 2.5 hours for like the oil to heat up to like 150 degrees. And like Kim's like, I mean, everything else is done, Danny. And like, thank God, like we cook a turkey in the oven, so like, you know. And it was plenty to feed enough people, but as we're eating, like my turkey is like still out there like bubbling. I was like, this is embarrassing. I felt like Clark when he in Christmas Vacation when he couldn't get the lights lit up. Everyone's like coming out to me. They're like, it's all right, man. We'll do it next year. It's just a turkey. I was like, but I know I'm doing everything right. So yeah. Anyways, the turkey turned out. Not deep fried, but it turned out good. But it was unfortunately after dinner, so we have a lot of leftovers.
It still sounds like everything went. It avoided being a total disaster, which
yes,
is good.
Didn't light anything on fire. Nobody's hurt. The Lions lost, so it wasn't all bad.
The Lions did lose. That was.
I can feel the collapse coming. About the last 2 weeks, they've looked really susceptible. I'm like, all right, it's coming. I know it's coming.
It's this goddamn waxing gibbous moon that everybody's talking about here. Have you seen that stat that came out of nowhere?
I saw it, Jay Cutta.
I'm feeling all good, and then the night before, everyone's like tagging me on Twitter about the same post where it's like the Lions have played 13 times in the modern era in the waxing gibbous moon phase. And they're 0-13. I was like, well, they're not going to lose this one. The Packers suck. We're good. And now I feel like I need to base like all of my future bets on waxes gibbing moon, gibbous moon takes, whatever the hell that is. I don't even know what's going on. But yeah, it was kind of a Thanksgiving disaster. Didn't enjoy it. Not good. Got the day off to a rough start. But the rest of the day was fine. I did end up having to eat at the kids' table by myself, which I don't know how that happens. I sent you all the picture.
Yeah, it was good.
We have big Thanksgiving at my parents' house this year, and it was like about 20 people. There were a couple of late scratches though, so like the seating is set up in like four different areas, and my daughter demanded, she like loves my sister, so she like demanded to sit next to Aunt Katie, and then John had to sit on Mary's lap, and I don't even know how it ended up happening, but this domino effect was me sitting at the kids' table all by myself to eat dinner, which was, it was fine. I enjoyed, I enjoyed the privacy. That was nice, but it was a little bit of a rough Thanksgiving. The vibes are kind of off going into this game this weekend. We got to restore them on the podcast today.
Yeah. I feel like I just went out to Lowe's, did some Christmas, outside decorating pickup stuff, but I'm flipping the switch. I would say, as soon as this pod started, I'm like, all right, it's time to kind of get in gear here.
I mean, this is a big one. I know that we've had games in recent years where maybe the combined stature of the two teams has been better, but the overall significance of this game for both sides really is not lost on anyone, I don't think. You've got UK now for the first time in a few years coming into this game being the walking wounded. It sort of feels like a throwback to when the game first moved to the end of the season and we were the stronger of the two sides, and we had these, the first 2 years we had opportunities to keep them out of a bowl game because they were 5-6. And, we had big comebacks in both those years, really exciting games. And now UK's 6-5, but they've lost 5 of 6. The fan base is upset with Mark Stoops for the first time in a few years. They're, 8-point underdogs as of right now going into this game. And on our side, you know, if we lose to Kentucky, it doesn't change the fact that we've already won 10 games and that we're playing for a conference championship next week and have a really good chance to go to a really good bowl game. But my God, would it suck? Like,
yeah,
this is a chance to flip the narrative of the rivalry. I mean, you and I, people of our age and pretty much everybody listening, like, we all have experienced this rivalry for the bulk of our lives, with Louisville being the better team. They started playing in 1994. Louisville since then has won 15 of 28 games. It had a decided advantage in the rivalry a couple of different times. And now you look up and Kentucky's won four straight. And it's not just that they've won four straight, they've dominated the last four games. And I think UK fans have that combined score tattooed on their arms at this point. Like, they know it so well. It feels like if we're going to get this program back to where we want it to be, and certainly we're off to a hell of a start right now, 10-1 through 11 games in Jeff Brohm's tenure. One of the boxes you need to check, though, is beating Kentucky consistently and being the better program in the state. And I think that it should start this weekend with a home game. You've got an 11-game home winning streak. UK is 6-5. They're coming off of a pretty embarrassing loss to South Carolina. Like, this feels like a box. I don't want to say you need to check for Jeff Brohm, but it would definitely appease the segment of the fan base that has just been crushed by these last 4 years. And I count myself in that mix for sure.
No doubt. I'm just trying to feel out, like, maybe a UK fan's mindset going into this game. Like, I personally don't – I'm not saying that they're not impressed with the season that we've had, but I still think in their minds, just, and it might just be because of what's happened the past 4 years and kind of maybe the, I don't know the word, like, confidence that they have, you know, from just drumming us the last 4 years. But I think in their minds, like, this should be a game and they can play with us. But I also think that if we were to win this game, I think in the back of their minds, they're like, this is where it's going to completely flip to the other side, and they could see Brohm kind of taking this rivalry over and going on maybe a 3-4-5 game run as long as he's here. So I think there's a lot at stake for both teams. I mean, like you said, I don't remember the last time. I mean, obviously this game has moved to the end of the year only for the past couple of years, but, you know, the season that we're having, a loss here, I mean, that, it would be up there. I'm trying to think of the most. I mean, obviously the Lamar loss hurt.
Stevie got loose.
Stevie got loose hurt. This one would be very tough, no doubt about it. So I do think, from a pressure standpoint, you know, there's definitely pressure on us. But I also think, from UK's standpoint, they know that, you know, hey, the whole Mark Stoops deal where his record is probably not, you know, it looks a little better than it is. And I think a lot of that is propped up by the four Scott Satterfield wins. And we've seen what he's done since he's gone to Cincinnati. So this is a big opportunity for both programs.
You're right in saying the rivalry has been, since it got renewed in 94, it's been really like kind of a cyclical thing where one side just dominates. So there's not a whole lot of going back and forth, especially since the turn of the century. I mean, if you look at it, if you take, and I know we can't do this, but if you take Steve Kragthorpe and Scott Satterfield out of the equation, since like John L. Smith took it, since Bobby Petrino came here for the first time, I'll say, since 2003, when Bobby Petrino took over, they've beaten us twice against somebody besides Satterfield or Kragthorpe. They had the 2016 win over Lamar Jackson, and then they won in Charlie Strong's first ever game as U of L's head coach in 2010. They won 23-16. Besides that, I mean, you know, they've won the last four now. We, from 2011 through 2017, only lost one time. We had a 5-game winning streak, which is the longest since the rivalry resumed. You know, they had four straight. They beat Kragthorpe all 3 years, and then Charlie his first game. Before that, we'd won four straight. And then, you know, they'd won the game in 02 where Dave Ragone almost died. We'd won three before that. They'd won two. We'd won two. They'd won two. Like, it's just, you're right. It does kind of feel like if we're able to change the tides this year, it's not just a win for the season. It's not just a LOL, like, you guys are 6-6 and we're 11-1. It's a hopefully sign of things to come for the next several years. Like, I want this to be kind of like when Charlie beat them for the first time in 2011. And he goes in the locker room and he's like, you're never losing to those guys again. And he didn't. Like, you know, we won the next 2 years and then he bolted for Texas. But I think that the stakes this year also feel different than the last couple of years. Like losing to Kentucky the last 4 years. Well, it's been 5 years, four games, because we didn't play in 2020. Those losses were depressing. Like, yeah. you know, we didn't have – we had already kind of had whatever seasons, except for in 2019 we'd had a pretty good year, overachieved a little bit. So those games meant a little bit more. It was like, this is a nice way to cap your season. We may not be winning a conference championship. We may not have beaten great teams, but beating your rival to end it is a nice feather in the cap. And if anything doomed Scott Satterfield at Louisville, it was those games, because they stuck so deeply in our minds, because – one, it was the last game of the regular season, so it sticks with you a little bit longer. And two, the ass kickings were so thorough, it was hard to just turn the page. Like, all four of those losses, even last year, which was closer, but still was, you know, they led from start to finish. It never really felt like we were going to win that game. All four of those were depressing. I think if we lost this year, it would just be more annoying than depressing. I think that you still feel good about the direction of the program. You still get excited about the conference championship game against Florida State next week. But my God, you know you're going to have to hear about this for 12 months. And you know, it also sort of validates all the things that people are saying to try to disparage the season that you're having. You know, the ACC sucks. You're not playing a tough schedule. And if a 3-5 SEC team that just lost to South Carolina comes into your house, pushes you around a little bit, and walks out with a victory, it just kind of validates all that talk, which would be really annoying to have at the end of a 10-2 season. So, like, let's avoid the annoyance. Let's make sure that this doesn't happen, and let's take care of business and celebrate the hell out of this one. It's been too long. The Governor's Cup needs to be back where it belongs.
Doesn't it just feel different, like, going into this game, though, with – I mean, that's easy to say. I mean, we know, you know, comparing apples to apples, you know, Brohm and Satterfield, like, of course we're going to feel better with him at the helm. But – like, even the last 4 years, like, and we were favored. Were we favored in a couple of those games or one or two of them?
We ended up being favored in 21 and I think 2019, which is,
yeah, I think 19. But like, even going into those games, just the demeanor of Satterfield, you know, I'd had so little confidence. Like, that I just knew going into that, I was like, all right, they're going to try to bully us, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, It's easy to look back on now with him being 0-4, but I just, and everyone's talked about it, he just really didn't understand the importance of the rivalry. He didn't understand the importance of the game. And it's so refreshing to have someone come in here that, you know, that they're just, hey, no matter what, we're going to throw the kitchen sink here and make sure, A, we're not bullied, but B, you know, we're going to do everything we can to win this game. So that part's refreshing. I'm very interested to see kind of the antics, I mean, that go into this game. I mean, yes, UK has definitely shoved it up our ass 4 years in a row, but, you know, they do what they do while they're doing it. But, you know, the L's down, whatever, it is what it is. You know, we've had garbage cans in this rivalry, you know, extracurriculars. But this is a disciplined team we have coming in here. Me personally, I mean, we can get into the X's and the O's. I actually wouldn't mind seeing a early game scuffle just to kind of provoke UK a little bit, because I feel like our players, even after that, can kind of tidy up and get back to playing football, whereas their players lack a little discipline and I feel like would try to, you know, perform those cheap shots the whole game. So I wouldn't mind getting a little chippy early.
There, I think there's like a 1,000,000% chance that's going to happen. UK's going to do that shit. Like we know they are. Kirby Smart had the quote earlier this year when they played Georgia where he was like, we told our team, don't retaliate. Like, they're going to try to dirty it up. This is what they do. This is what UK fans can deny it all they want. The fact of the matter is everybody who plays you guys on a consistent basis views Mark Stoops as this being like sort of one of the defining characteristics of the culture that he's built at UK. And look, it's worked for him for the most part. Like UK has gotten in our heads the last 4 or 5 years. There's no question about it. Like, that shit has worked. And it's why I said, I think I said it on the last podcast, like one of the sort of oddly encouraging things, maybe you pointed this out, oddly encouraging things about the end of the Miami game was there were two plays where our guys got hit in the face and we just didn't punch back. Like, it was like, we're like, okay, we'll take the two penalties and we'll win this game. We need more of that. I mean, you saw the shining example was 2 years ago, that the 2021 game where I think we did come out as slight favorites. UK was like, this is ridiculous. And they come out, they score right away. We come out, we score right away. UK scores again. And you're like, all right, here comes a back and forth shootout. Let's go. And then Malik Cunningham gets in that little skirmish along the sidelines. And like after that, he's done. Like they were in his head completely. He loses it a little bit. He gets that what should have been another personal foul penalty where he hits the guy in the face. Like, and a bunch of shit like that just kept happening. This year, I feel like we've been more mature in those situations for the most part. UK has been wildly undisciplined, especially down the stretch where they've lost five of their six games. Like, they're going to rely on that same old shit working again this year, and I'm hoping that it's not going to. I mean, to your point, it does kind of feel like the last 4 years, it's like when you're in college and like there's some sort of beef or like somebody's gotten into a fight and you're being led to a fight by like your biggest bitch of a friend. It's yeah. Like you're like walking down the street. It's like, I mean, Sherman's leading the charge here. Not really sure how confident I feel about this. Sorry, Sherman.
But you're exactly right.
But now it's like, oh, my biggest, like the former All-State tight end is leading us into a fight. I'm like, okay, I feel a little bit more confident about this. I think this guy can handle his own a little bit more.
I think you're right on all those points. I guess the thing that I'm saying is like, and hey, if you want to call this dirty, it is what it is. We can't go in there and get punked early. So whether it's a late hit on the quarterback, whether it's a late hit out of bounds, I don't mind taking a 15-yard penalty early in the game just to kind of show up and say, hey, things are different now. We're not going to be absolutely punked this entire game. And, you know, like I said, do it early and then kind of button back up, because I trust our players in these situations a lot more than theirs. But I do think we need to send a message that, hey, things are different under this regime. You know, we're just not going to let you guys run over us like you have the past 4 years.
I'm going to disagree on taking the late hit penalty. I prefer if we didn't do that. I see where you're coming from. I think, though, like the biggest thing in this game, and look, it's the easiest talking point to have going into any game. Like every fan of every team says, like, we got to have a fast start. Got to have a fast start. But I think we especially have to have a fast start, and especially in this game, because one, we're okay playing from behind in like a one score game or maybe like a 9-point game. You know, we came back against Georgia Tech. We came back last week against Miami. But you saw against Pitt when we got down and they were able to turn us into like a just Jack Plummer throwing bombs type team. Like we can't do that. We don't have right. that in us. Kentucky also, I don't think I really realized this until this week. They are like the slowest team in all of college football, the second slowest team. They run the play clock down. They don't run a ton of plays. They've run the second fewest plays in all of college football. They have the second fewest running attempts. Like they are going to play. Like, it's going to be a fast game in terms of real time, but it's going to like we may not get a ton of possessions in this game. So we need to make sure that we're putting the pressure on them to, you know, to have Devin Leary open it up a little bit. We don't want them to just be able to bleed the clock and do the thing that they've done against us in recent years where it's just, you know, gouging us for 4 and 5 yards on obvious running downs. And then, you know, we're feeling like we have to make Jack Plummer do more than he's capable of. Like a good start, having these same types of first quarters that we've had all season long, I think is really huge in this game. And I mean, it would help if the special teams were shored up too. I mean, we've got big dick Nick Lopez. I feel good about us at kicker if he's playing. We'll see what happens with Brock. They've got a good return game, which means we need Travelstead to put the ball in the end zone on kickoffs, and we need Brady Hodges to do a good job punting. Like all that little stuff. I feel like if you're looking for ways how UK can win this game, that little stuff matters. The turnovers, obviously, the special teams, obviously, and then them getting in our heads. I think if we cut all that stuff out, like we're the better team. I feel confident in saying that for the first time in like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it is weird, like, looking at UK's stats, like, how they're, like, 121st in rushing attempts and how they've thrown the ball more, because that's just so unlike what we're used to the past couple of years of them just coming in and, you know, basically taking everything off the quarterback from a throwing standpoint. So, you know, if we can get Leary in throwing downs, I would think we'd be successful. I just have a lot more – you just wonder if they're – if UK staff is looking at this and they're like, all right, guys, like we need to run the ball more, obviously. But yeah, I mean, our defense the past couple weeks, you know, it hasn't been bad, but we went through that little stretch in the middle of the season where it just seemed so stout that, you know, every time there was a third down, we got off the field, we tightened up in the red zone. And, you know, I think that we, the past couple weeks, we've got exposed a little bit. I could see UK using a lot of kind of misdirection to keep our defensive line off balance. But, I mean, this is a simple thing to say. I do think the game's going to be won in the trenches. So I hope that we show up on both sides of the ball.
It's always interesting. Like, the game is so different now that it's the last game of the season, as opposed to the first game of the season, because you're dealing with guys being banged up. You're dealing with some different stuff. Like, nationally, people are looking at this game and they're saying, well, it's two of the better running backs in the country. Ray Davis has been great for UK. Jawar Jordan is number 22 in the country for Louisville. He's a 1,000-yard rusher. And when you look at the last, like, month of these two teams, Davis hasn't been nearly as impactful as he was at the beginning of the season. I think he's only averaging, like, 55 yards per game over their last four games. Jawar has obviously been dinged up. It's been more Isaac Garendo the last two games than it has been for him. So, like, I think depth is going to be a huge issue here. And I think we've got depth at the specialty positions that they don't really have. Our offensive line's a little bit banged up. Their offensive line has been mostly okay, I think. So we're going to have to rely on, one, Jeff's play calling again to be really, really good and to put us in positions to win. And I think this could be another game. I mean, you'd love to see Jawar come out and just find that pep back in his step that he had a month ago. But I think we assume that he just doesn't have it right now anymore. But also, like, Ray Davis hasn't been as good. It's been the Ramon Jefferson has been their better back in recent weeks, although he didn't get the ball a ton last week against South Carolina. So it's like backups are going to matter in this game. Depth is going to matter in this game. And I thank the Lord that Jeff Brohm went out and got a ton of guys in the transfer portal to help us out there. First of all, I don't even know this. I'm literally asking you on the podcast. Have you decided, are you coming in for the game? I know you're up in the air.
We'll decide tonight.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It was a long day yesterday. You know, we got it's tough. Like, you know, you have these long weekends. You want to spend it with your family, but, you know, Kim is the whole Ohio State Michigan thing up here, so I don't know what's going to happen. It'll be a last second decision if I wake up early and drive down, but I'm about 50-50 right now.
We're going. This will be the first time that I've been to a Louisville, Kentucky football game since 2018. Like, when we got, it was the last Petrino year where we had Vince Tyree lead the team out in the field and Tutu Atwell started at quarterback and yeah. Whammy Ward was the coach. It predictably went poorly. And that was the game. Like, I get very worked up for the rivalry games. My wife does too. God love her. But, like, that was the game where at halftime, I knew it was going to be bad. I knew it was going to be bad, but we had season tickets. I'm like, we have to go. And at halftime, like, UK fans were talking shit. We're getting blown out. And I was like, we got to get out of here. I was like, we never leave games early, but I'm like, let's go home and get fucked up. I was like, our friends, the coaches who were with us, they came over to our house and we proceeded to just get faded. We made the most of the night, but like we're venturing back into the belly of the beast on Saturday. I'm excited to be back. Hopefully seeing a Cardinal victory in person for the first time since, I mean, shit. The Kyle Bolin game, I guess, in 2014, because 2016 we lost. We haven't won at home in a long time, which is crazy.
I hate the noon kickoff for this. God, I wanted 3:30 or a night game so bad, but yeah, it is what it is. I think after the Miami win, I mean, it's not even just that. Like, our fan base just is flying so high right now. Like, tons of momentum. I think they're gonna show out big time. I think we'll have a great output or a great showing there at LNN. And what, Card March is at 9 o'clock, so
9:30, I believe.
9:30, yeah. So hopefully we get a big crowd out there. But yeah, whether I'm there, whether I'm watching here, I mean, my anxiety level is probably going to be through the roof on this one. I want it. And then, because if you win this, like, I'm not saying not to let it loose tomorrow. Of course you want to let loose, but like, if you win this, gosh, you go into the ACC championship, it's like, Jesus, we got everything in front of us. We can just absolutely let it rip this game. But you really, you know, this one, there's a lot on the line for, I mean, obviously for them and for us.
Yeah, this is the last game that you'll play this season where it's like something is expected of you. Like you are, yeah. You're not gonna be favored against Florida State even without Jordan Travis. We're looking right now at the Orange Bowl potentially, where we would play, it looks like, Ohio State, Michigan, or Alabama. Somebody who basically is going to be favored over us, regardless of how many guys they have skipped the bowl game for the NFL draft. So, like, this would be the last one that I think – I'm not saying it would be okay to lose the conference championship game or okay to lose the bowl game, but this would be the one that would really, really sting if you lost it. And it feels weird to say it because – the conference championship game is a huge deal. It'd be one of the biggest games we've ever played in. The Orange Bowl potentially, or wherever we go, should be one of the bigger games, bowl games we've ever played in. But this one, it feels almost just as important, just from a like just perception standpoint. And again, avoiding the annoyance and getting over that hump. And I don't think it would be that way if like we'd won four straight in the series. I think it's one, it's that you're expected to win it. Two, it's that they've dominated you so thoroughly. We haven't beaten these guys since Lamar Jackson was here. And then three, it's I think it was you're running the risk of kind of invalidating what you've done to an extent if you lose this game, because then people will just say, you know, it was more about the schedule than it was about the team, and they finally ran into a team that can bully them in the trenches, and they got bullied yet again. Like we want to avoid just all of that talk and take care of business.
I mean, look at the Lamar year. I don't really – it doesn't bother me. Like, he went on to win the Heisman – blah, blah, blah. But, you know, every time they show highlights from that season, you know, you get on Twitter and UK fans, Lamar fumbled, blah, blah, whatever. Like, I just don't want any of that the rest of the year. Like, if we could just put a stamp on this and move into the ACC championship, you know, flip the rivalry in our direction, I know for a fact right now we have the better coach, but just really kind of, you know, flip the rivalry and put a stamp on things, then it'll just be not only momentum going into the future games, but recruiting momentum for the state. Like it really could take a turn here.
I do agree with you. Like UK fans are kind of trying to do the thing now where it's like, oh, if we do beat you all, like, you know, we're terrible and you're going to do this. I think in the back of their minds, cause none of them are willing to say that we're good. Like they're all like, you guys suck, but you'll probably beat us, cause we suck even more. I think that they have more confidence than they're letting on. I think
I do too.
Which I understand too. Like it's hard to get I think we're more nervous about this game than we let on because of what's happened the last four times we've played. But I think that they believe that we're frauds. You know, they've almost lost to Virginia. They've beaten nobody in the ACC. Notre Dame wasn't even that good. Duke ended up not being that good. Like, we've played great teams. Sure, they've kicked our ass, but we've played great teams, and we're going to show you on Saturday that who you play matters more than who you beat. And I don't want to have to deal with that. Like, I don't want to give that any credence whatsoever, because I want the season to stand alone as being special. I already have to hear it from fucking Jeff Greer because we lost to Pitt every now and then. He's like just texting me constantly. That's enough, and it's just one guy. I can't deal with it from like a million guys for UK. So let's make sure that we just don't let that happen. A couple quick numbers to throw out here. I'd forgotten this from last year. It's one of those stats that got talked about a bunch last season for whatever reason, but hasn't been talked about as much this year. Kentucky has the longest non-conference winning streak in all of college football. They have won 23 consecutive non-conference games. Now, a lot of that is because they play us and then three just absolute nobodies, but would love to snap that. Louisville's won 11 straight home games, which is the fifth longest home winning streak in the country. It's our third longest home winning streak ever. We'd love to keep that going. And then this one is the one that I think people hear about and gets brought up a ton. The team that's rushed for more yards in this rivalry series has won 24 of the last 26 meetings. The only exception is 2014 and that Lamar game in 2016. So hopefully we can keep up our solid ground attack. Hopefully our rush defense will be just as good as it has been in the past. And we can take care of business and win this Governor's Cup and be annoying towards UK fans, because that's what it's all
You know
about.
What, like, I don't have the games to back this up, but just thinking, like, how many times have we, like, had to play, like, multiple quarterbacks in this rivalry? Like, I'm thinking, like, the Will Stein switch to Teddy Bridgewater. I'm thinking
To Lamar.
Bolin to Lamar. Last year
we had Bonifon to Bolin.
Yeah, Malik Cunningham, Brock Doman. How many times, like, we've, like, it's been rare that, like, we, like, finished the game with the same quarterback. So kind of a quirky thing I was just thinking of.
It really is. I mean, even I mentioned the 2018 game, Tutu Atwell started a quarterback. I think he did a series and then Malik came in and played. But yeah, we've had, that's five right there since just 2014, where we've played multiple quarterbacks. And that was kind of the thing about last year's game that was that was weird is, you know, everybody was like, I think Malik was criticized pretty heavily last season for not winning, and really throughout his career. And everybody's like, Brock's the guy. Like, let's start Brock. And then Brock plays for a quarter, and everyone's like, I don't care if Malik can't walk. Get him out there. Like let him play on one leg. Yeah. And he comes out. Remember, he came out, and he led us on a touchdown drive right before half. And it was 13-7, and we were getting the ball to start the second half. And we were like, all right, we may be able to do this. And then Malik, UK got in his head a little bit, and he throws that pick and gets hurt on that same play. And all of a sudden, it's 23-7, and we're dead to rights. So hopefully we don't have to play another quarterback this Saturday. But if we do, you know, I trust Jeff to get the most out of Brock or Con gone wild, Evan Conley, or whoever needs to.
I'm hoping Jack takes this ACC, or was it ACC Player of the Week or National Offense Player of the Week?
He got both. He was ACC Player of the Week. He was like the Dairy Queen National Quarterback of the Week. He was on the Manning Award shortlist and all this stuff. So
yeah,
the last time it happened though was the Boston College game, and he played really poorly right after that. So
well, just absolutely shit on my point there. Like,
he shaved the mustache. That was the issue. He's got the mustache now. He's feeling good.
Yeah, just from like the videos being put online, it seems like he's in a happy headspace. Like the Thanksgiving thing, like everything. I'm like, Jack, all right, you're feeling good, bud.
We got to talk about the quote that has driven the local conversation all week long. It's been so long since we had a really good, just inflammatory rivalry week quote, and we finally got one thanks to Kentucky's Deion Walker on Tuesday, I believe it was. He met with the media, and he went on. He was being interviewed, and he said, I never liked Louisville, even when I was getting recruited. I just don't like the Cardinals. Their fans are kind of snobbish, and their players act entitled. He then went on later in the interview to say that, you know, he looks forward to beating us on our home field and making everybody sad. I've heard, first of all, UK fans and players and everybody, they need to get their insults in a line. Like, are we too ghetto? Are we too white trash? Are we too snobbish now? Like, we're a fucking melting pot. Like, that's who we are. And like, the snobbish stuff has been great. The Louisville fan base has really run with it all week long on Twitter and social media. The players act entitled. I don't know where that came from either. It's a weird quote. Deion Walker is one of the few guys on Kentucky's team, though, that like when he talks, you're like, okay, you got to listen to this guy. He's been really good this year. But I don't really understand why he hates us so much. He's a true sophomore from Detroit. Who, you know, he's played 1 year in this rivalry. I feel like he doesn't have enough experience to really have that hate. A lot of people are like saying that he maybe was instructed to say this by Stoops or the coaching staff because he's not really saying it with a ton of oomph. But yeah. Look, it certainly has gotten the fan base's attention. It's been fun to talk about for the last few days.
The interview itself was just so awkward. Like,
it's
weird. Like, is he reading off cue cards right now? Like, plus he was out of breath. Like, I was a little confused by the whole thing. I was like, all right. But no, hey, that's fine with us. I guaranteed Jeff was like, all right, thank you very much. Let's go ahead and put this in our back pocket and, you know, show the players here. But, I mean, yeah, this kind of stuff, like, that's kind of what makes the rivalry fun. I really hope if the game is out of hand in our favor at some point, like one of our celebrations, they do like a tea time. Like
pinkies cheers up.
Or something like that. Yeah, pinkies up. So that would be nice, but... Yeah, the whole like the words were what they were, but like the actual interview itself, when I was watching it, I was like, okay, like it literally felt like the old newscaster, like passes to the man and he scores. Like, literally, that's like the same vibe that I got. So, anyways, we'll see.
Fly ball,
yeah. Yeah, Reggie Miller looking good. So,
I would love it if like on if they're like. They play like the Vivaldi for third down music or something. It's third down.
It's like the music from Crown season 6, like
Downton Abbey just blasting.
Yeah. Oh god, that's hilarious. But no, that's why we love the rivalry.
I feel like that quote's gotten a lot of run from Louisville fans. And oddly, the quote that has gotten the most run from UK fans, and this is one that we talked about on Tuesday's podcast, is Jeff Brohm saying multiple times that, you know, this is the biggest game of the season and, you know, how much emphasis is placed on the rivalry game. And a lot of UK fans, they're trying to do this thing where it's like, you're 10-1, you're having this dream year. and you're still like we're still your Super Bowl, and you're still so focused on us. And I'm like, this is Jeff giving the fans what they want. Like,
exactly.
Don't make it more than what it is. Like, yeah, it's a big deal. It also would be the biggest win for your season too. There's no question about it. This would kind of it wouldn't save Mark Stoops' season, but this is the you can see from the way that Stoops has talked this week. He knows this is kind of like the last little ace in the hole that he's got. You know, they haven't taken that next step. They're not competing with the Alabamas and the Georgias and the you know, whoever's of the world, the LSUs of the world in the SEC just yet. And they took a step back this year. They lost to South Carolina. They have a losing record in conference play. And now he's like, I still fuck up Louisville every year. Like, let's not forget that. Like, he really wants this one, because if you lose to Louisville, I know you're still going to a bowl game at 6-6, but this season has been kind of a total failure. Like, you didn't beat Tennessee. You didn't beat a really good team. You beat Florida, who ended up being kind of a nothing. And then you lost to your arch rival for the first time since 2017. Like, this will be a difficult season for him to stomach when his message has been constant progress. We're going to keep getting better. You also had him kind of calling the fans out and being like, if you want us to be better, like, give us some more money. And, you know, we're never going to compete with Georgia unless we get our NIL up. So this would be an overall bad look. Like, you know that he's putting maximum emphasis on this game. This is the only way that he can rescue a portion of this season. So, I mean, UK is going to fight like dogs in this game. I think the issue is you've seen them quit a little bit in recent weeks. If we get up on them in the first half, if we can get up like 14-0, I do think that there will be a little bit of like they will lose control a little bit.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, I think it's almost a sure thing that we see their antics, just because, you know, they've kind of done it the past couple of years and it's worked for them. So I think Stoops is going to kind of stick to the same script here. Sure. What are your odds on pregame scuffle?
I put it like, I think it's like 2-1.
I think so too. I think there's going to be some, you know, whatever they people coming across the field and crowds form and stuff like that. I don't know if we'll have a Bobby Petrino picture of him grabbing the assistant, which is just an all-timer. But, yeah, I could definitely see a pregame scuffle.
Yeah, whatever walk-ons they've got in street clothes, I'm sure they'll use them. Drew Barker, the biggest impact he ever made on the rivalry was was trying to get in Michael Dyer's face, which I would have loved to have seen how that would have gone had they actually been able to. Imagine Drew Barker, who got knocked out by an EKU kicker, I think.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Going at Michael Dyer, that would have been, I mean, a man would have been murdered at the middle of Cardinal Stadium Field. All right, let's take some questions. Before we do, reminding you guys, the Home Field Apparel Black Friday deal is still going on. 20% off everything store-wide. Go to homefieldapparel.com. Look at their options for 150-plus different schools. Pick out what you want. Everything is 20% off. It's the best way to take care of a number of Christmas presents. They've got new cards gear. They got card football gear. They've got Cardinal everything gear. Check it all out. Homefieldapparel.com. Homefield Apparel without an E on Twitter is the best way to keep up with all their new releases. They've got newsletters as well that you can sign up for. Homefieldapparel.com. Take advantage of Black Friday. We love our friends over there. All right, let's take some questions from Twitter, and then we'll make some predictions at the end here. And then I got to get in and do radio in a second. Ryan Hamill says, this is kind of appropriate with what we were just talking about. What object does Kentucky use first, a trash can, a helmet, or a fist?
I'll go helmet. I feel like the trash can's been used already. Yeah, I'll go helmet.
Danimal says, do we offer caviar, lobster, and fillets during the tailgate tomorrow, or is it too early? I feel like it's too early, so just crumpets and tea or white truffles and pate with sparkling white wine. I love this.
Yeah,
I love playing.
I'm interested to see our fans show up to this. I really think some people are gonna go all in on this and, like, you know, have those little umbrellas that they use over in England.
Somebody texted the radio show on Wednesday and was like, I'm going to the Snowball, which is a thing that I think Norton puts on every single year. It's like a black tie affair. Like, you rent tuxes and stuff. And he's like, I've already got my tux for Saturday night. He's like, I'm like 50% that I'm going to wear the tux to the game. I was like, I think you need to do it. Like, just make it happen.
Yeah, let's lean into it.
Why not? Patrick says, what is U of L's record with a waxing gibbous phase? I need to know before the game tomorrow. Don't do that. He's a Packers fan. Fuck you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy the Lions are losing, but now I'm looking, the Packers are like right behind the Vikes. I'm like, okay, let's slow down a little bit.
I mean, that damn moon turned Jordan Love into goddamn Patrick Mahomes out of nowhere. He's like throwing across his body 40 yards downfield. I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah,
the kids heard some choice words. This is the first year, too, I've had the whole family get it Lions year. Like, I finally got everybody on board, and we lose to the Packers. Our next-door neighbors are all Packers fans, too. They're like celebrating. I was like, god damn.
That's tough.
Carito says, what percentage of Jack Plummer do we need to beat UK? I'm going to say like 80% Jack.
I was going to say 85. Yeah,
we need to just avoid – he's got to avoid the big mistake. Like, that's the obvious thing. He had the one mistake against Miami, and it didn't kill us. It was a throw downfield around midfield. I'm fine with him taking those opportunities. We can't have the pick six when all the we can't have – like, Plummer, all of his mistakes have been when – we're just starting to lose momentum and we need to answer, like the Virginia interception. They finally score and we're like, okay, we're still in control. It's like, let's answer back. And then the very first play, he throws that pick six. Like, he's got to avoid that mistake on Saturday. And I do get a little bit nervous because, I mean, we know that Jack gets a little bit in his head, I think, for big games and big atmospheres. I think the good thing, though, is it's at home. The crowd's going to be a lot like it was for Notre Dame. And he played very within himself and very good in that game. And he keeps coming back to this. I know you're the same way. Every time we start talking about these things and you start to get a little bit nervous, like I trust the coaching staff to put him in the best positions to win. Like,
The Miami game, like I really don't think he only made a handful of risky throws. Like everything else was kind of a within the offense throw or, a running back out in the flat, a tight end out in the flat, very safe throws. So I don't think he's going to have to make – If we run the ball well and we kind of run our offense like we have been, I don't think he's going to have to make a ton of high-risk throws.
The other thing that I thought was interesting about the comments from the coaching staff this week on the UK side, one, I did love that Liam Cohen was like, we're going to play faster next year. Like basically being like going into the last game of the season being like, whoops, my bad. like sorry about that. He's like, just so you know, it's going to be different next year. But also, like, Mark Stoops came out and said pretty much straight up, this is probably going to be the last game for a number of guys. Like, them going 6-6 and playing in, like, the Duke's Mayo Bowl or wherever the hell they're going to go, they're going to have a lot of guys that just opt out of the bowl game. He sort of is implying that, whether it's to go pro or to just enter the transfer portal early. Like, so maybe a lot of these guys are putting more emphasis on this game. Like, again, I think you're going to get UK's best shot. I mean, Devin Leary even was like, I can't commit to the bowl game. I was like, really, Devin? I get Levis doing it a little bit last year, but you're Devin Leary. Like you're not going to be a first-round draft pick. You're not going to be a second-round draft pick. You've had a shitty year. Maybe go out there and play in the bowl game, but whatever. Yeah.
I'm not going to knock Leary until after the game tomorrow, but I think from an outside perspective, and I'm sure UK fans would agree with this, that this year hasn't been for him what we thought going into it, obviously.
No, I mean, he's been he was like the number two quarterback on a lot of the transfer portal lists. Jack Plummer was not even on the top 25. Like, Plummer, I think, has done more with his opportunity than Leary has. I don't think he has the same skill set that Devin Leary does. And look, Leary's a guy who torched us a couple of years ago. So he very well could play well again this year, but they have not like he has not been the guy, and they've got great wide receivers. Baron Brown killed us a couple years ago or last year. Dane Key is very good, and they've not gotten it going for whatever reason. Hopefully that continues in about 24 hours. Steven says, will Louis come out with a top hat, cane, and monocle? If not, how disappointed will you be? That'd be a nice touch.
Yeah, no, or some replica of the Lamar Heisman get up that he had. That would be nice.
Now, look, I specifically asked for questions that were – I said this is just a Governor's Cup podcast. We're talking to UK. That's what the questions are going to be. And in the middle of all these UK questions, there's this guy who just goes, will Payne make it past tomorrow's game?
God. Oh, man. Yeah, well, beat New Mexico State.
Cesar says, is this Mark Stoops' worst coaching job in his tenure, and will Kentucky come within 10 points of Louisville? I mean, this feels like – I mean, because, look, they had expectations going into this year. They were in the top 25 at one point. They were 5-0 at one point. Like they looked like they were going to continue to build on what they've been doing in recent years. And it has like, there's no shame in losing to Georgia and Alabama. Obviously there's no real shame in losing to Missouri. Even then But the South Carolina loss, I feel like, has kind of just like that's the one really bad team that they've been beaten by. And now if you lose to Louisville on top of that for the first time since 2017, I think it just drives home that this is – it's the first really just massively underachieving season that Stoops has had. And some fans are already a little bit restless, and they're only going to grow more restless. And I hope that we can add to that restlessness.
I mean, I think a big part of it, not only, you know, from a record standpoint, you got to look at – I mean, this guy's making $9 million a year. So – you want to perform like a $9 million a year coach. And I think he failed to meet those expectations, obviously, this year. So, yeah, I mean, as far as the 10-point question, you know, is, are we going to keep it within, or are they going to keep it within 10? We'll do our predictions at the end. But it's this one's tough. Like, I keep going back and forth of kind of how I want to, you know, judge this game.
Yeah. I mean – I'm kind of there with you. I made my an official prediction in the Lexington Herald Leader did the thing where they reach out to media people, and it felt good. This is the first time in 4 years where I picked Louisville to win, and I was like, "Yeah, it feels good to put my name behind a Cardinal victory for the first time in a while." Trent says, "Field storm if we win 11 win season and breaking the streak." Absolutely not. No, we're not storming the field for beating a 6-6 Kentucky team.
I completely agree. That would I would not be happy with that.
Camden says, who could you see having a bigger impact on the game, Jawar Jordan or Isaac Garendo?
That's tough. Like, you feel like, I don't know, Jawar's kind of like his carries have been light, obviously, as he's kind of nursing this injury and trying to get back. So you wonder if maybe tomorrow's the day. But I mean, Isaac has just been such a hot hand. And like me personally, like I want to go to Isaac early and often and kind of see, you know, what's opening up there.
I feel like the game plan is going to be the same as it's been the last 2 weeks, where it's like, we're going to go with Jawar first. We're going to see what he's got. And if he looks like the Jawar that we saw against Notre Dame, then cool. Like, let's go. This is your game, Jawar. And if he doesn't, and we're not running the ball that well in the first drive or two, then it's going to be an Isaac game. And I personally think it will be an Isaac game. That's what we've seen the last 2 weeks. I feel like Jawar's not going to – that knee's not going to magically heal up any more than it was a week ago. And so we need Isaac to be – Isaac got a little bit banged up against Miami too.
You almost took the words out of my mouth. Like, it wouldn't surprise me to have maybe a out-of-nowhere Maurice Turner game. Like,
yeah.
That could totally happen, and weird things happen in this rivalry. Like, there's unsung heroes. It could be a Maurice Turner day, so
for sure.
Hopefully he's ready.
I mean, and look, to his credit, he was ready to go the last drive against Miami.
He ran really well.
Had a couple of really nice pickups that helped us get out of our own, like, the shadow of our own end zone. He was good. And they've used him in the screen game a decent amount still. But like, if we have to rely on Mo Turner, I feel pretty confident in doing that. He's really good too. DCW says, is Virginia riding her pony to the game in full processional regalia? The kids are not going to the game. If they were, yes, we would have her like come in a Cinderella carriage or something. It'd be great. Let's see. CJ says, who's the first UK player to throw a punch tomorrow? Probably somebody we've never heard of.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not going to be a big name.
Daniel says, what scares you more, UK's run game or UK's defensive line?
I will say the run game, because if the run game is successful for them, they can pretty much control how the game is played. And I'm not saying the defensive line can't do that, but I think Jeff wants as many possessions as possible. And if they get the running game going, like you said, it could be a very limited number of possessions on offense.
Same exact thought. I feel like if their defensive line is bullying us a little bit early on, we can adjust. Like, we have such a versatile playbook. Like we can run some quick throws to get the balls to our receivers in space. We can, you know, try to take some shots downfield. Like we can do different things. I mean, Miami's defensive line was really good at the beginning of the game on Saturday. We changed up our attack and we used our tight ends a little bit and went away from the run game. Like, I think that we have more of a pivot on offense if their defensive line is playing really well than we do on defense if they're running the ball on us. Like you said, if they're just gashing us for 5 or 6 yards per play, like, they can control the flow of the game. And that just it demoralizes you over time. We've seen that the last 4 years we've played these guys. Like, it demoralizes you to be doing everything you can to stop them at the point of attack and just not be able to do it. And so, yeah, we need Ashton Gelade, Destel, Ramon Puryear, all those guys up front, Mason Rieger, to really step up and be the big-time players they've been all season long. All right, do you have any parting thoughts here before we get to some predictions, Dan?
I mean, the only parting thought is I'm nervous the more we talk about this game. Like, I really want this one.
It's been too long. The insults have been annoying. UK fans are annoying by and large, but they've been especially annoying these last 5 years. I feel like we need to we need to shut them up. Like we need to move on. And if they want to have basketball, okay, cool. Like you and Chattanooga fans have the same bragging rights over us in basketball. We'll take everything else from you. Like we really, really need to get this one. I'm like you. The closer that it comes, you know, we're 22 hours here away from kickoff as we record this, the more nervous I get. I want the dream season to have the perfect end at the regular season. So let's make some predictions. Cards and Cats, noon ABC. We are 3-0 on ABC so far this season. Who wins? Who's the star of the game, Dan?
I think it's going to be kind of a quirky game where we are frustrated like a lot of the game. And it, you know, from aesthetically, it's not going to look how we want it to look. But I think we get the job done. And I'm going to say it's 28-27. And I will say star of the game. I will go with, I'll say Ashton Gelade. I think he's due for like a sack fumble. I can just see Leary sitting back there and getting rocked a couple times.
Not sure if old Mike's new heart could handle a 28-27 game in person tomorrow. Let's hope that doesn't exactly happen. I do think it's going to be nip and tuck for most of the game. Like I think it's going to be really tight at halftime. I think we're never playing from more than a score behind. I think that we seize control in the third quarter and let UK hang around a little bit, but the defense steps up and makes the stops when we need them to. I'm going to say Louisville 31, Kentucky 23. I'm with you in going with a defensive player as star of the game. How about the only Lexington native on the roster, Devin Neal? He's a ball hawk. He always makes the big play. Game-sealing interception, Gerard Holloman style. We're celebrating. We're 11-1. We're going fucking nuts. We're getting ready for a conference championship game next week. Dan, these are the good times. I mean, think about it. We've got the UK game. We got an even bigger game coming up next week to talk about whether we win or lose. Hopefully, it's in victory, and we can hype this thing up the way it should be next week. I'm excited. Let's get this done, Dan.
Let's do it. God, three games in a row. This is a great time to be a Card fan.
All right. Subscribe to the podcast is the best way to find out when new episodes are available. Do whatever you got to do. Guinness guy, betting on the other team guy, everyone who's done all the podcast heroes out there, you've got 24 hours to make this right. Do whatever you've got to do to bring us this victory. It's going to be a collective effort. Hopefully, we will all be celebrating together, whether it's Saturday night on the Emergency Podcast or Monday or Tuesday, whenever we're talking to you again. Hopefully, we're celebrating a victory. Go Cards. Beat Kentucky.
Come on, Cards. Let's go. Go Cards.